Okay, well, thank you all and welcome. This is a really cool session. I have known Jesse Redness, who is the chief innovation officer at TBS and TNT for many, many years. And when he showed me what these guys are up to, it's such a cool thing. I'm going to let him take you through it, obviously. But I was just so excited to be able to show this to the audience. This is something casting, which has been near and dear to my heart for a while, and he made it real. So that's very cool.
Cool. Yeah, thank you. I mean, I think as we think about the overall friction points of how the OTT space is growing, mobile, television consumption, you know, one of the biggest things we saw as, you know, going through a career of building these app interfaces using different technology was the paradigm, the chasm between mobile discovery and television viewership. And so we started working with a company that literally is what we're calling Chromecast on steroids. And there's a few other companies out there that are doing really great similar work. But this one we got to implement pretty early on into TBS and TNT. And we're going to share, you know, a whole bunch of different data and insights that we've seen in the last 6 months of using this technology.
Right. So just to sort of set the table a little bit, for those of you who might have come in thinking you were going to see the process whereby Jennifer Aniston was chosen over Courteney Cox, casting is actually, it's a way to take content from a mobile device and flick it up onto the television set.
Exactly. So I think the premise here was, how do we solve for that, right? How do we get people that we know are discovering content, a lot of it via social media, a lot of media spend that, you know, publishers do today are spent on social to try to get brand awareness, traction, followership, engagement with fans, but there's no way to get them off of Facebook or Twitter or Snap or Insta and up onto the TV. And now there was, there is. And so on the left-hand side, and I actually, the slides are so tiny on the screen, I haven't memorized it all, but overall, you know, that is essentially an attention breakdown, and we're looking at the shift of attention across different screen formats. On the right-hand side, we're actually looking at the overall consumption of long-form content within the home. So, you know, the overall stat, you know, 82% of all long-form content is being viewed on tablets within the home on the Wi-Fi network. 64% of people that use, smartphone TV viewing occurs within the home. So we already know that, yes, people are mobile, people are out and about, but at the end of the day, when you settle down to watch long form, people are usually doing it within the household. And if you're like me, you want to figure out, great, we want to watch it on the biggest screen available. So now how do we make that transition easy and seamless? And that's really, you know, what we were looking to solve for here.
Right. Now, was that kind of a surprise, that stat? Because, you know, for a long time there had been this whole thing that, oh, everybody's watching TV on their mobile devices and millennials don't look at TVs ever. So was that kind of a surprise, or did you guys know that?
I mean, it wasn't really a surprise. I mean, if you just think about, you know, how you go about your everyday life, you know, I commute quite a bit, like an hour and a half one way each day. So I'm a power viewer on Netflix downloads and just watching stuff on the train. But, you know, that's few and far between when you look at the entire populace of the United States. So people are snacking on content. You know, you're on a plane with Delta Studio, you're on the train, whatever it is. Outside of that, you know, without 5G really being predominantly across the entire United States yet, people are watching shorter form content out and about, but within the home, they're watching longer. And I found it just myself, that's what I was doing. You know, I've got a lot of kids, like a lot of kids, and they're watching up on the big screen, and I'm literally on a tablet watching the game on my tablet. Like, I've got this big screen I spent a lot of money on, and guess what? My kids dominated. I got pushed out. But what we're seeing, though, and when we looked back at a lot of the TBS and TNT data, and you can see it on the bottom here, you know, mobile view with VOD and live on TBS and then, you know, VOD and live on TNT, the average time spent per session here, you know, mobile, 29 and a half minutes year to date, September to December, 28, and we split it out because we actually launched the Roku casting in September. But then on 10 foot, you know, people watch a lot longer on 10 foot on average. And so when you look at the difference between VOD, people seeking out those pieces of content in our app experiences versus live, which is we've got MLB, we've got NCAA, we've got NBA. People are watching for, you know, 2.5 hours in a session. Those are really long session times.
10 foot is the TV?
10 foot is the connected TV experience, you know, up to the big screens.
Right. So what you were finding is that people would sort of find these. So just to sort of set the problem up. So people would go on social, they'd find it, and then they'd start watching on a mobile device, and they kind of couldn't figure out how to get to the TV, or it was just too difficult to sort of turn on the TV.
Think about it today. Yeah. Like you find it, you become a fan, and you're like, okay, great, I'm going to go launch my Roku or my Apple TV. I got to go to the search function, go search up what the app was, the network of what the, for the show. And you're like, okay, it was on TBS. I got to search for TBS. I've got to install TBS onto my Apple TV or my Roku or my Amazon Fire. And then I've got to go search for the show, right? So this technology actually eliminated all of that friction. So what this technology does is you can essentially find a show, and you can see it mocked up here on Facebook. There is an immediate like watch now or install button. It immediately drives an install of the app onto your phone. You can start watching there. It'll detect the devices within your household to say, hey, do you want to watch this up on your Roku or on your Fire TV or on your Samsung TV? We just literally launched Samsung last week. And it'll actually drive the install seamlessly onto those devices for you and actually pick up the stream that you were looking for. So it'll deep link directly to the video that you wanted to watch from the Facebook promotion, deep linked into the connected app on the connected device, and you're watching seamlessly.
That's pretty cool. And so what about authentication? Do I have to do that, or if I've authenticated on one?
Unfortunately, you still do. And it's just a problem with the overall industry. I think, SSO is rolling out much wider now, and we've got SSO now on Apple TV, on Roku, so it's much more seamless. But unfortunately, you still have to do it at least once. Yeah.
Right. But once you're logged in, then you don't have to keep doing it each time, right? So once I've logged in the first time and I see something on Facebook and I push it out, I'm golden. It just starts playing.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So this, overall, when we're looking at the premise here, we are live on Amazon Fire TV, Roku, Apple TV, and Chromecast. And then, as I said, we just launched on Samsung, and we'll actually show a demo of that in a little bit. But what's great about this, and this is chock full of stats, so we can actually share the deck later on. This is actually mapping on the left-hand side the last 6 months of casting. And through that time, we actually compiled both TBS and TNT, which basically includes both short form, shorter form comedy, 22 minutes, and as well as longer form dramas, and live TV. So we have VOD content, comedy content, drama content, MLB, and NBA. And what was really interesting about it was looking at the disparity and difference of what devices people were casting to, what they were casting from, the type of content, and then some of the demographics we were seeing on who was casting from what social platform. Was it Twitter? Was it a push notification? And then the results from that. So the huge spike you see in October, right? In October,
yes.
Literally was fall ball. It was MLB. And for us, that was actually a little bit of a shock when we saw that at first, because we were like, holy crap, look at this massive spike. Look at all the old white dudes that are casting their TVs. But then when you actually talk about it and think through those results, you're like, wait a minute, that makes perfect sense. It's because old white dudes are the ones that usually have all the big devices like the Roku Ultra or the big screen TV, and they want to really watch the game. This was just an amazing insight we saw that we didn't expect to see from MLB.
And it was a good World Series this year. I think, it got a lot of coverage. There were some exciting games that went into extra innings, so I could definitely see. Now, did you find, like, with a lot of this, the other games, especially, say, basketball or something, where people would come on and start, it was like they'd watch for a few minutes and then say, oh, this game is kind of interesting. I want to actually sit back and watch it. Like, they were probably checking the score.
That actually was one of the insights that we saw was we didn't do any real marketing or promotion of this yet. We wanted this to kind of grow organically. So we did organic posts. And part of the strategy of the marketing team was to actually do organic posts during games to say, like, hey, the score is really close. You should check it out right now. So people are actually discovering or either checking on the score or is getting seeded into their feed when the score is like 99 to 97 and there's 4 minutes left. So those types of organic pushes were actually driving people like, oh, man, I want to watch it. They pull it up on their mobile. And then we basically prompt them with, do you want to watch it on your Roku right now, and seamlessly cast it up there. And so we are literally drawing more attention back up to the big screen. But we are also doing that at the beginning of the game. So the overall stats for us get skewed based on the tactics we were using for the type of programming we had up on air. So various points in time, it's like, hey, get into the game right now. You're missing out on such an amazing game. Could be 1 minute left, 2 minutes left, 10 minutes left, versus the, hey, the world premiere of Alienist is happening in January. You want to watch it right now. We can actually push organically to all of our fans and followers across the entire Turner footprint. Tune in right now, a push notification to everybody at 10 p.m., and they can immediately start watching it on their phone and then cast it up to the big screen TV.
Very cool.
So, you know, overall, 1.7 and counting casts to date, and for us, you know, represents roughly about 10% of overall views happening on mobile devices only. So for us, again, organically seeing the fact that about 10% of overall consumers were discovering this feature and capability and choosing to check it out, again, without any big marketing or promotion, was just a really great natural progression of figuring out, is this technology, is this feature something that people want and will use?
Now, how many people already had it installed versus installs you were able to get because of it?
So that is actually covered right here, which is great. Okay.
Yeah. What an interesting segue, man.
Practice
that wasn't, yes.
So the stats are really interesting, and they're interesting because of the usefulness of each one of the platforms. So when you think about Chromecast and you look at the stats, you're like, wow, Chromecast just dominates the entire pie chart there. But if you think about what Chromecast is, Chromecast doesn't have a home, right? You're not launching Chromecast and all of a sudden going through an app front door and an interface in which you're discovering. Chromecast is like a one and done. So people that have Chromecast are basically one and dunning over and over and over and over again. So the repeat casts on Chromecast are super high per user. Versus what was happening with Roku and Fire TV and now Samsung was the initial discovery on mobile device, then driving an install onto your Roku or Fire TV, and then usually it was like one or two times using it that way. People are tending not to go back to casting because they've already driven the install onto the Roku, and now it's sitting there on their home screen, and they go back to watch their favorite show every single week. So it's serving a dual purpose for us. It's basically helping to drive discovery and traction and then viewership up to TV,
right. But
then helping to drive new installs for us.
That's pretty good. And which did you launch it on Chromecast first, and then?
Yeah, so we launched Chromecast and Fire TV back in May. So again, these stats are fairly new. And then you can see on the bar chart in September, we launched on Roku and Sony TV, Android TV launch in about mid to end of September. Huge pops through October. The 57% of Roku casts resulted in an install is just an astounding stat. And Roku for us now is the number one platform for overall TV viewership happening across all the different devices. So that alone for us was like this is a really interesting user stat to see that we're driving a ton of organic installs from this initial Roku launch. And then we saw a very similar effect with Fire TV with 23% happening.
Right, and that's interesting too, because if those of you who've been following it, there have been, I think, three recent studies that show that Roku is pretty much eating everybody else's lunch in that category, that they're in the number of people who are using Roku versus Chromecast, Fire TV, and especially Apple TV, that they're way ahead of everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing it. I mean, Roku, Amazon, they're eating Apple's lunch right now.
Yeah.
The Apple usage we see going down. And as we all know, Apple just announced that Amazon is launching on their platform, but is it too little too late at this point, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So some next stats goes a little bit deeper into, those installs, as a percentage of total cast per platform, sports was a huge driver for getting net new installs. So overall, you can see on Fire TV with sports and non-sports, this just gives you a basic breakdown of how many people were installing off that initial cast. So for us, again, how we're using this technology to drive an eventual install into that platform, even if they never cast again, it served a purpose for us in regards to getting a net new install overall.
Right. Now, talk to me about, you have this thing about the VOD usage on there. So you're able to actually sort of drive people to the app to watch it, not so much a live show, but something that is, you know, sort of stored there on the VOD server.
Yeah, so what's cool about this technology is not just it in itself, but how it works with other feature sets that we built into both PBS, TNT, and this is also a feature that's across CNN and Cartoon Network, and it's something that's called Freeview and Instant On. So with Freeview, we're actually allowing consumers to come into our app experiences and get 5 free minutes of any VOD piece of content. And so for us, what that means is that we can easily get anyone from any marketing material to immediately drive a cast and start watching instantly, right? You don't have to authenticate. So from there, you're basically saying, great, mobile discovery, cast, immediately start watching. Then after 5 minutes, and there's a countdown timer showing you how much time is left, it asks for your authentication. So we actually saw our authentication rates skyrocket. Like, authentication rates are pretty abysmal when you look at it overall. Like, 29% of people eventually authenticate through. We are seeing in the upwards of 46 to 50% of people. So when you give them the content up front and make it super seamless, people will actually whip out their email addresses and be like, oh, yeah, that's my information. And
Right. Because that just to explain to you guys in the audience, authentication is a problem. Not so much that people don't want to do it. It's just like, oh, wait, I have a login for Comcast? Like, when did I do that?
So I want to show you guys really quickly what the Samsung experience looks like, because it's actually pretty impressive here. So let's pop this video on real quick.
This is a quick demonstration of the Bisbee integration for casting to the Samsung TVs in the TBS app. So this is the TBS iOS mobile app. So if I tap on the cast icon, in addition to the Fire TV Roku devices, you'll also see that it is now detecting the Samsung devices. So if I select the Samsung TV that is in front of me, it immediately launches and connects to the Samsung TV app. So the first thing you notice is that it has connected in less than a second. So it's a very, very fast app. If I select and play this video on the iPhone, so it's immediately starts loading the video and starts playing it on the TV. So you can see that even the video start is extremely fast. It happens within less than a second. So I can use my mobile controls to seek. You'll see that the video seeks to the right position. And I can even pause the video using the physical remote. So if I pause it with the physical remote, the mobile immediately picks up the status. So I can play with the mobile phone and the video resumes.
So what's really cool about this is that, you know, unlike some other, you know, things that you've used before, Apple and tethering through Air, the phone is not bound to the TV anymore, because we're actually making a call to the cloud. So the phone is literally just like a remote control that's calling up to the cloud to pull down the right stream to get fed to the Samsung TV. So not only did it drive an install of our TBS app on directly onto the Samsung TV, but then it basically made a cloud call to push it to the Samsung TV. You can exit out of the TBS app and continue doing whatever you were doing before, Facebook, email, whatever, and just keep on watching your show. You can also relaunch the TBS app and then jump back into controlling the show again. So when you think about the market penetration of Samsung, how many sets they have out there, ties in, you know, the 2000, late 15s, 16s, and 17s, it's a really big marketplace for us. So just looking at the sheer growth and velocity that Roku had in the first month of going live and then October, we expect to see some pretty similar results for Samsung once we get into the hot season of NBA and into next year.
Right. So out of all the places where you're sort of, you know, where you're promoting this, whether it's, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, are you seeing one sort of, you know, having more effect than the other sort of?
You know, we haven't done any paid marketing yet. So this has really just been organic. A lot of it has been discovery through the apps. A big strategy we are planning on rolling out starting next year is going to be do audience segment targeting based on what fans they are. If they're a fan of Samsung or Roku on a Roku and they like search party, we'll actually build audience segments, target them on Facebook, and give them the watch now message up on your big screen TV. So we're going to start getting very granular about who we're marketing to and how we want them to view based on what we know about them by scraping some of the graph info from Facebook. So I think Facebook will probably be the biggest converter for us.
Right.
But quite frankly, just overall discovery through the app experience has been a huge boon so far.
Right. And do you have any plans, you know, as you sort of roll this out further, to sort of add features on it? Like, I know one thing that would be really useful for me would be, because it's all about me, would be to have something where if I saw a show and I didn't have time to watch it at that moment, I could sort of save it so that it was queued up when I launched the app.
Yeah, so we're going to be rolling out playlisting, and there's going to be a second screen ad experience and purchase capability all built in. So that's all coming in 2018, and we're pretty excited about that.
That's excellent. That's excellent. Well, we have a few minutes now just for one question, and then, okay, we'll get one question, and then whoever asks that question will get, now, TV Rev is a thing that Jesse and I and a bunch of other people started up. It's a website, and we also have a consulting thing off of it, and we did a report on smart TV and ACR advertising, so whoever asks the first question will get this. Get this one. We have one of the other authors of it is sitting in the front row there, too, looking at his phone. He doesn't hear me. But hi. We were just talking about you, Dade Hayes. Okay. So, any questions? Tracy Swedlow.
You can get someone. I already have my question is, do you have any examples where you're reaching into commerce opportunities, fan communities, and things like that to drive additional revenue for all the success on all these
Not products. Yet. That is planned for next year. I think a big part of this year was actually just proving out the technology, the fact that our consumers are actually going to utilize it. And then as we start getting more insights on exactly who is using it, right, because we will have a lot more information based on marketing campaigns we've run against it and what they're consuming on this TV, what ads are running in that show, how we can actually draw the parallel between product offerings that you can actually purchase on the mobile device, et cetera. So that is going to be coming up. We just don't have any given case studies yet because we haven't run anything yet.
You know, some of these platforms have partnerships with commerce companies. So are you not even looking yet, or are you?
No. So this company, Visby, actually already has a relationship. So they've done a deep integration with Amazon. So they'll have a one-touch Amazon purchase capability built in to their casting technology. So if you see, you know, in that Samsung example, you saw a Patron ad, you could literally put a Patron ad on the phone as well and say, buy a bottle right now. And I don't think Amazon sells liquor, so that's a bad example. But you get my drift.
Okay. Okay, cool. Well, thank you
all very much.
Very much.